Yes, I'm sorry. Nah, I think it's good. I'm much more comfortable speaking across the table to everybody than this. And actually, when they first asked me, and I started to try to prepare for today, I was thinking, what are they, crazy? and so then I processed through that a little bit, but really the answer is yes. They are crazy enough to embrace the fivefold. And really, I'm going to talk about something you might not think is fivefold, but really it's fivefold for children. I'm very comfortable in children's ministry, been doing children's ministry for a while. I have multiple times told other people I will be an assistant in children's ministry and be listening to the teacher, and I will get so many huge things from the Lord that way. And it's because I think the language is so simple. I think your dad said to me, wow, all the time. You need it just broken down really a whole lot, don't you? So Stacy and Rich termed this today's message the Father's Heart. I am going to reterm it to say, make me be like my daddy. Okay, so I am actually going to share a prayer that I wrote in one of my journals. I love this. This is a Dan Moeller prayer. I love the phrasing of this. So I'm just going to read it, but I might wind up praying it because I'm very comfortable praying as well. So I thank you, Father, that while I was a sinner, you sent the Son. My heart has no agreement with sin. He's speaking positionally. He's speaking, this is our position. This might not always be what's expressed. Stacy said it earlier. In the mess, sometimes we're just a mess. But I thank you, Father, that you love me. This is our position. I thank you that you know me. I thank you that you sent grace to me to care, to love you, to search for you. I respond to you because you have given me grace. Thank you that your Spirit, the Spirit of Yahweh, lives in me. Thank you that the blood of Yeshua speaks on my behalf. I have found favor in your sight. I am Christ conscious and not self-conscious. I fix my eyes on you. It's going to be a great day because you're inside me. You love me. Give me understanding. Grow me into you. Mold me, etch me, make me look like my daddy. Make me be like my daddy. I say yes. That's fivefold right there. Grow me into you. Mold me, etch me, make me look like my daddy. I say yes. I shared earlier about the first moment of justice. Salvation is the first moment of justice. But every yes we say, every yes we say to him becomes more justice. It's not like we just wait for justice and he does it magically. It's all we partner with him and justice happens. It becomes greater and greater and greater. So, okay, so I want to start out today sharing this cute little story. I shared this with Dawn at work. I had some work done on my car recently, and I had to go to a performance shop. Okay, I know you all know my car. Okay, anyway, so I'd never met this guy before. He was a young guy for me, probably 35-ish. When I went to pick up my car when the work was done, it was on an off day, so his family was with him. He had his wife and his two kids with him, about a 5-year-old and a 3-year-old. And so he was a bit of a perfectionist, which is great. When somebody's working on your car, you want them to do the work right. And so he was fixing something because he had to send it out for an alignment. He did tires, it had to go out for an alignment. So he wasn't happy with the way it came back, and he was trying to fix this before I picked the car up, so it was taking a little bit of time. But all the while, his kids are just milling around, and his 3-year-old is, like, on him. She's got his neck. She's picking in his hair. She's just all over the place, and he is just sitting there. He is not blown. He's just never says to her, he never says, get away from me, I'm doing something, la la da 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 da. He just doing the work, and she's just all around him. So I just want to show you a couple pictures I put up, Deb. I'm going to have you go ahead and show those three. Because I'm a visual person, so make me be like my daddy. To me, these pictures speak of our position, and they speak of his position. This is fivefold. This is what he wants us to do. He wants us to be like him. This is what we're here for. He wants us to be like him. I also just want us to think about the position as well of how we respond even to our family members, our loved ones, because we can do that. We can be all rattled. I laugh about this story with my children, but lately, so when they were younger, I'll be honest, I'll just be transparent. I'm pretty transparent. There was a lot of, not now. I'm busy. I can't cope. Blah, 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 blah. Okay. So now I'm trying to kind of, as they're older teenagers, trying to kind of come do the opposite. And so a lot of times I get home from work and everybody piles on the king bed. I mean, I call it pack because it's not just the 18-year-old, the 22-year-old. It's the two dogs, the three cats, the husband. Everybody. And I'm just like, I just need to relax. I can't do this. And it's so, like, it's so much closeness. But what are children saying here when they say, can I help you with that? Can I do that? Can I help you, Daddy? Can I help you, Mommy? What are they saying? Buddy, I'll repeat. Closeness. I want to be like you. So we want to mirror that to our family members. We want to mirror, yes. Come in, join. Okay. You guys are just too good. Okay. Okay. Yep. I already said that. Okay. So how do we know what the Father desires and likes and wants? Anybody? How do we know? The Word, okay. Who do we look at to see what the Father's like? Jesus. So we can read through the Gospels and we can see his reactions, his actions, his emotions, and we can pretty much figure that that's the Father because he is in the Father and the Father is in him, right? Okay. So John 17:24, I'm going to let Deb pull that up. I desire that they also whom you have given me be with me where I am, so that they may see my glory which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. So I know this is Jesus talking, but since he is in the Father and the Father is in him, I would say the Father's heart is, I desire that they be with me. Really, if we think about it, every action, everything in the gospel, everything in the Bible is the end game is that we dwell with him, that we're with him. Okay. Okay, so let's look a little bit like at what our daddy's like, because if we see Jesus, we'll see our dad, right? So John 15:15. He likes us and he wants to be with us and he calls us his friends. I'm going to use Stacy's example. He likes to share his secrets with us because he's our friends. He's merciful, but he still holds to righteousness. This is something that I read this week about, or this recently, about the Samaritan woman. His reaction, his actions and his reactions were towards mercy. But then at the end he said, but go and sin no more. So he didn't compromise righteousness. He was merciful yet righteous at the same time. He is a giver. He gave his son lavishly to us. He is love and he loves us. He loves wholeheartedly. I shared this one time in church before, when I was reading about that. Wholeheartedly, he loves so the Father loves the Spirit and the Son with his whole heart, his whole mind, and his whole being strength. It's the only way he knows how to love. So he loves wholeheartedly, and he asks us to do the same, to be like our daddy. Fivefold. Okay. Okay, so what does this look like, or how do we do this, being like our daddy? We're going to go to Mark 12, 30, 31. And again, this is just wholehearted love right here. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. I'll wait a moment. I got to get this down with this. So love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your understanding, and with all your strength. And the second is this: you are to love your neighbor as yourself. Okay, so we hear that a lot. We can think like different things. I'm going to go a little bit into my own story here. I'm going to be a bit transparent. I'm a very transparent person, but sometimes too much. So I'm trying to rein it in a little bit here. Because I think we can think we're loving and we're doing it in our own strength, or we're doing it the way we know. It's not his love. And so I just need to elaborate a little bit on my own story here for you all. In the 90s, I guess, 95, my family was part of another Foursquare church. Caroline was part of that church. And about 4 to 5 years into being there, we felt the Lord wanting to move us down here to Worldview. And a lot of the reasoning was we just wanted something. We were kind of craving a bit more of a more intense relationship with the Lord, a little bit more with him. And so we made the move. Now, that church was amazing relationally. I mean, I'm a shepherd person, and this was like, this just fit that bill. And I got it in my head, because I am a shepherd person, that this is normal. This is Christianity. This is the expectations of Christianity. This is, you know, everyone should be in relationship with everyone. Everyone should be this tight, this family. And yes, they should, but that's kind of my shepherd bent too, expressing itself. And that church, we were so close. We were like family. I've never really come across that in any other area of my life other than that group. And so we did. My children were growing up. We were all in each other's lives. We kind of did that. Second chapter of Acts thing, or that, you know, fourth chapter of Acts thing. So then it came down to Worldview, and I'm doing the same thing, and I'm developing relationships, and, you know, I'm doing what I think is, you know, putting all my energy, my everything into, you know, serving a church and doing all the things that I know to do, and thinking that, you know, that's the way you do it. And but at the same time, I'm crying out the things that we cry out in the house of prayer. I want you, Lord. We cried out this morning. I want you. I just want you. I want to know you more. Blah, blah. Okay. I'm saying blah, blah, blah. Sorry. Probably shouldn't say blah, blah, blah. But anyway, those kinds of phrasings, okay? So that's happening, and you know, church is happening, all the nine, everything. And so all of a sudden, things start to go a bit south, relationship-wise. And, you know, things are going, just kind of really falling apart. You know, I'm feeling rejection, I'm feeling isolation, I'm feeling competition, all these things in a place where I'm feeling, this should not be. This is church. This should not be. And so in reality, I felt like my life was falling apart. And I felt like the Lord was, well, I didn't even know if I felt like the Lord was in it. I felt like I was losing it. So things processed. We, you know, life happened. Years go, you know, time goes by. And what I came to realize is that my attention was turned towards my family in a way that I don't think that my family had my attention before. And I felt like I wasn't loving my family first. I wasn't loving the Lord first. I was doing all these things, but I had not love. And so that 1 Corinthians scripture where, you know, it says, I mean, that was a scripture that has just rang and rang and rang in my head. You know, let's go ahead and bring that one up, Deb, the 1 Corinthians 13:1. Up there. If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and know all the mysteries and all the knowledge, and if I have all the faith so as to remove the mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. And if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I surrender my body to be burned, but do not have love, it profits me nothing. So I just feel like that's all the stuff, right? That's all the stuff of Christianity. But what's God saying? If you're not like me, it's really completely and utterly meaningless. And so I really felt like that the Lord, he brought me to that. He removed everything that hindered love. This is what we talk about in the house of prayer. Remove everything that hinders love. We say all these lovely little phrases that we sing the songs and we all know them, but I'm telling you, in reality, you think you're dying. You think your life is coming apart, but he's such a master. I even during worship this morning, I'm like, he's the master chess player. He knows exactly how to move the pieces so that you love him. I hope this is okay to say. I hope this is okay to say. I'm going to say this. I almost even feel, we're coming up on the anniversary of the explosion in our church, but I almost wonder, were we looking to the pastor first? Were we coming here because of the pastor first? Because when that got removed, It's us and him. We can't come to church for anything else but to be like our daddy, to love him with all our heart, with all our strength, with all our mind, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. Okay. I'm going to do a little bit with this, but okay, sorry. Y'all got to be patient with me. I've never done this before. Okay, so here's the thing. We're not really, really fooling anybody or anything by just doing actions and not having that heart right, okay? This is a phrase, this is a Dan Moeller phrase. Apples beget apples, oranges beget oranges. The fruit is what is inside, okay? So the Lord said in Galatians, well, you know, this word says, so the Lord says to me. So in Galatians 6:7, and I'm going to read this out of the Complete Jewish Bible. I love the phrasing here. Don't delude yourselves. No one makes a fool of God. A person reaps what he sows. Those who keep sowing in the field of their old nature in order to meet its demands will eventually reap ruin. But those who keep sowing in the field of the Spirit will reap from the Spirit everlasting life. So if we're sowing into love, we sow into love, we reap. We reap. It's like when it's here and we're sowing into loving him in the secret place, it comes out of us naturally. There's no working at love. There's no working at it. It's just who we are. It's like what I said earlier about the prayer. This is just positionally who we are. We don't have to work at our Christianity and at faith and at all these things. It's who we are. It's an expression, okay? So lastly, I just want to say, how do we do this? How do we hang out with him? Anybody want to pile in and give me some answers? Look for him in your daily activity. Spend time alone with him. Another thing is dialoguing with, like, I have been reading through John and just loving, like, there was a moment when I felt like, oh my gosh, I have missed my time with the Lord, and I started getting that feeling, and I just read one chapter, and I was just like, there you are, Jesus, there you are. It's conversing with him in what he was doing. You're talking to him about what he's like, what he does, how awesome that is. Like, one of the things I just even shared with you this morning, he's a master chess player. I love that. The teaching I heard one time was that, this kind of blows me away, that, you know, with Jesus, Jesus was going along. Jesus is doing things, actions, reactions, all that. And then it comes to the cross. The Father was moving pieces. And then he just took his hands off and let it happen because he knew wickedness would have its way. He knew what the result was. And that's the thing. That was in a song we sang this morning, that wickedness did exactly the thing that was the reverse of what was victory for wickedness. If that makes sense, okay? But the Father is just a master. He is a master. And so I love that about him. So I, like, talk to him about that. Another thing I love about him, it kind of goes with that. Helen, one time, we celebrated Purim. Is that how you say it? And everybody's dressing up as Esther and everything. I dressed up as Haman because I love that he was murdered on the gallows that he built for somebody else. I like that. I think I just like that about the Lord. It's like, you're that tricky. You're that smart. I just like that. I know I'm a little warped. I'm sorry. Is that what? I did. I had the news. I had the little sign that said a short drop and a sudden stop. Okay. So here's the thing in all of this. You know, I didn't even know positionally that I was hindered from receiving love and loving. I didn't even know it, but he knew it. He knew it. And probably I still am. I mean, there's, you know, our entire lives are going to be him molding us, him shaping us, him etching us. Okay, I think I'm about ready to finish. Couple things. I'm just going to read through a scripture, but kind of at the end, we're going to have a little bit of ministry time, but not coming up for personal prayer. I just want you all to to talk to the Lord, just you and him. You know, Stacy and I have been doing children stuff for years, and I remember one time we were at a Foursquare camp, and we actually, at the campfire night, shared a story. It was a story we had read in our homeschool curriculum. I wound up sharing the story, and then she was asking the children questions. But something that kind of struck me, and I didn't say anything that night, because I was a little more unsure of myself in the Lord, but, you know, the Lord remembers everything we've told him, like every little heart thing, every moment where we said, Lord, I want that with you, or I want to follow you, or I want more of you. And so I want you to just reflect with the Lord, you know, on maybe things that you may have said in your life, and that the Lord, pray that the Lord brings things back to your remembrance that you may have said. But I also, he's going to remember this moment. So I just want you all to spend some time with that. But I'm going to read the last of the Corinthians scripture, because this is kind of how I measure myself a little bit with the Lord. Measure myself into knowing if I'm loving, okay, or if I'm getting love from him. So we can see he is the person of love. So when I read this Corinthians scripture and I say love is patient, he is patient with me. He is kind. So, and then I think, am I patient? As I'm driving down the road, am I kind? Okay. So love is patient. Love is kind. Not jealous. Not boastful. Not proud. Rude or selfish. Not easily angered. Keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not gloat over other people's sins, but takes delight in truth. Love always bears up, always trusts, always hopes, always endures. It never ends. In verse 13, but now faith, hope, and love abide these three, but the greatest is love. Do we have Lund, or do you want to do keys? Okay, guitar. So I may just start off with a little prayer, but again, like I said, just sit alone with the Lord. If you are finished, just head on out to the lobby if you want to converse. Thank you, Daddy. Thank you, Daddy. Thank you, Daddy. We just thank you that we can climb up on your lap, that we can climb up in all your business, that you love it, that you receive us. You receive us like little children. You love it. When we ask, you love it when we come to you. Lord, I pray for all of us, for us to choose you in our daily lives, to choose you first, to choose to climb up in your lap, to choose to be up all in your business, to choose to want to know your secrets. And we just thank you that you share with us, that you love us, that you give to us. You give us your Holy Spirit. And I just thank you for today. And I thank you for the hearts of these people, Lord. Every little secret, every little thing that they share with you, that you care, that you want to know, and you want to help, and you want to be with us.